This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Now, today we're joined by Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers and Lily Ong from Lily Ong Business Lawyers and Migration Consultants. Welcome to Drive.
Thank you for having us.
Now, can you believe December's already here? It's nearly Christmas.
We're halfway through.
We're playing Christmas songs, as you just heard. I'm going to ask you, without notice, what's your favourite Christmas song?
Oh, that's such a hard question. I think probably Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah.
Lily, do you have one?
Have yourself a Merry Christmas.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Yes, that's a good one too. I like Wham! Last Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's miserable. Classic.
Exactly. Now, the end of the year, holidays are coming up fast. School breaks for the families. We've got Christmas for those who celebrate, and then New Year's right after. It's a time when a lot of families are preparing to travel as well. So domestically, some overseas. So for separated families, there's added legal and practical considerations that are overlooked. But we've got two experts in the fields of family and immigration law today. Now, Lily, as a migration lawyer yourself, why don't we start with the basics? What are the essential families or individuals need when travelling overseas?
So firstly, you've got to check that you've got a passport to travel. The passport should be valid for at least 6 months or more from the date you start your travel overseas. Or if persons are visiting Australia at least 6 months past their arrival date. Otherwise, some airlines may not let you board without this at least 6 months in your visa validity period. Also, your passport must be in good condition and not have torn pages or water damaged pages. As that might delay your entry. Another thing to make sure is that your name on the passport matches your visa grant to that country, as most visas are linked to passports. This affects people that use nicknames and not official birth names or passport names. The other thing to consider is the visa requirements of the place that you're traveling to. Some countries are visa-free. Some will require you to obtain a visa and pay a fee, or you may have to submit a digital passenger declaration or incoming passenger card before you clear customs. So to avoid airport queues, you may wish to prepare all this stuff earlier.
That sinking feeling, you know, when you're booking a holiday, you get your passport out and you think, yeah. Oh my God, it's got 2 weeks to go.
I can tell you, I was going on a trip to Bali once and I swear to you, I counted the number 6 like 100 times to try and work out if I had 6 months and I did just, but that 6 months I think can get people, yeah.
Last year I went to Vietnam, Lily, and I got my visa online, but a friend of mine got scammed and went to a fake visa website.
That's always.
Paid a fortune.
Got to be careful because, you know, you put Vietnam visas and then a lot of visas come up that look official but are not. Yeah.
So what are some of your tips for travelling at Christmas time? We all know how busy the Christmas period can be with added stress from travelling with your family or your separated family. Are there any things you'd recommend that our listeners do beforehand to ensure smoother travel in addition to what you already did?
Yes, we've discussed renewing passports earlier because passport applications can take a long time to process, you know, and it's not
easy. How long do they take?
6 to 8 weeks. Mm. Importantly, if you make an application to renew your passport, just be aware your existing passport will be cancelled as soon as you make the application and will not work until the new passport is issued. So if you buy your tickets, you only realise your passport needs to be renewed and then you make your passport renewal application and don't receive it back and then you rush to leave the country with the passports you have before the new passports issue, you will have a problem with travelling.
I'm going to check mine tonight. Yeah,
that's right. I'm like, got to go check some things.
Now, Beck, shifting away from immigration and practical requirements of travelling, let's delve into the family law side of things. It must be an entirely different process for separated parents. So what are the key considerations for separated parents?
Yeah, so I mean, look, on top of the general travel things that Lily's mentioned, when people are separated, I think the important thing to know is that you can't take your child overseas without the consent of the other parent. That's really important. Travel's one of those major decisions that we've talked about before in the family law act that parents have to make together. So there's ways that parents can make those decisions. So they might have a parenting plan if they're reasonably amicable that sort of sets out what they agree about travel. Some parents even include domestic travel in that. You don't need to, but just so everyone knows what people's plans are.
Yes, I was going to say that if you're in a family law situation that Beck's talking about, make sure there's not an airport stop or an airport watch or court order forbidding any travel with children that you're taking along.
Of course. It sounds like a good approach. Are there any drawbacks, though, for parents who choose to go with a parenting plan?
Well, look, they're a great tool, but the issue is they're not legally enforceable. So if one parent decides to just ignore it, you can't go to court and have it enforced. So it's just keeping in mind, I guess, if you think there's any possibility that you might not agree in the future, you probably want to err on the side of something a bit more formal.
We're chatting with Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers and migration lawyer Lily Ong, and we're talking about the important things to consider when travelling over Christmas, especially for separated families and anyone navigating visa requirements. Now, Beck, what's the next option for parents who want some certainty? Because I know I would want everything to be certain 100%.
100%. And especially when you're talking about travelling overseas, because there can be some serious legal consequences for parents that travel overseas without the other parent's permission. So the next option is to do a consent order through the family court. So it's an administrative process. You don't have to go to court. Mm. You can effectively lodge your agreement. But what you can have in there is, if we're talking about overseas travel, you can have, you know, how much notice you have to give each other, who's going to renew the passport, all those sorts of things can be legally then factored in.
Is there something the former parents can work out themselves?
Yeah, they can. I mean, look, we always say get legal advice, and as lawyers, we often help people with that. But look, people can do it themselves. I just think when you're dealing with something like overseas travel, you probably just want to get some advice just to make sure everything's done properly.
I can imagine separating couples may not agree on everything, including the destination. So what happens when a separating couple cannot agree on anything to do with their kids?
And look, that happens, Warren, as we know. So I think that the really important thing there is that people can go to court. So you can go to court and apply to the court. You know, I've had situations where parents have been desperate to take their child on an overseas trip. The other parent doesn't agree. And so we've gone to court and asked the judge to make an order. And the judge can do that, even if the other parent doesn't agree.
Lily, we often hear about issues and complexities that arise with people's visas when travelling, and often little caveats that aren't even aware of themselves. What are some important visa requirements or restrictions that people don't often realise and should be aware of?
Well, each visa class is different and it has its own rules and conditions. For example, if you come to Australia on a visitor visa, you must be visiting and not intending to work. Otherwise, you face visa cancellation even before you arrive into Australia, or even if you enter Australia and before the visa expiry date, you could have your visa cancelled as a breach of your visa conditions. Another thing to think about is that if you are a permanent resident visa, you realize that you don't have a resident return visa, so your rights to travel might have expired.
Oh, no.
The number of times I've had a call, and sometimes with different time zones when people are traveling, I've had calls at all odd hours in the morning, panicking people telling me I don't have a visa to return to Australia.
Oh, no.
And most times we can rescue them. And
you must deal with a lot of stressed clients, I imagine, because I mean, all these sorts of things, I mean, it's a lot of anxiety, isn't it? If your visa's not right.
They're very happy when we fix it up.
I bet they are. On the same topic of visas, what are the different classes of permanent visas and how are these different classes of visas determined?
Sometimes with the popular pathways at the moment is that we've got skilled state and territory sponsored visas, employer sponsored visas with a focus on moving migrants to Australia's regional areas. The National Innovation Visa is also available for high caliber talent in the field of arts, sports, academia. So if you're a Nobel Prize winner or an Olympian, I can get you into Australia.
Well, there you go. Right?
There we go. That's us, Beck.
We also have family reunions and humanitarian programs. But the main thing is that the law constantly changes as quickly or effective immediately or even overnight. So the answer is whatever we say is just general today and may not apply at the date of visa lodgement.
So really, we've just got to make sure that we complete the documentation and the travel requirements early, especially at Christmas, this busy time, and ensure that we know what our visa allows us to do and not do it before travelling.
Yes, that's right. And also, if you have friends or family who think that they have permanent resident visas that are lost, I just want to tell all your listeners that while that view is correct and they're outside Australia, we specialise in getting them back to Australia and reinstating their permanent resident visas. So that's something to remember.
Beck, travelling over the Christmas holidays can be tricky, as we've mentioned, for separated families. What are the main legal issues parents need to consider, especially if they're thinking about taking their kids interstate or overseas?
Yeah, look, I think it's about just always, as we say, everything coming back to what's in the best interest of the children. So what's best for them? That holiday, obviously they're going to miss out on some time with the other parent. How do we factor that in? I think that it's the communication. Where do you want to go? When do you want to go? You know, what's the travel plans? Just making sure the other parent is really informed.
Now, we've spoken about parenting orders before. What happens if one of those is already in place?
Yeah, so the really important thing there is to know that if there is a parenting order in place, taking a child overseas without consent is actually illegal. So the parent can only go if they've got written consent from the other parent, or as I say, they've applied to the court and the court's made an order that allows the child to travel overseas. So it's really important that if you do have an order, you make sure that that's all sorted before you leave the country.
So if we're a separated parent and we're thinking about taking our child away for Christmas, we've got to plan early, get the proper consent, and ensure our arrangements are legally sound, which is where we come and talk to you.
Exactly right. And look, you know, probably the 10th of December is getting a bit late to think about these things.
It's not Christmas shopping, is it?
No, maybe, you know, for next year, as I mean, most people know before they're going to go overseas reasonably in advance. So just look at that and make sure you've done all the things you need to do.
What's your one practical tip for parents travelling overseas?
Communicate. Communicate beforehand, make sure the kids are able to speak to the other parent while you're away. Everyone needs to communicate, Warren.
Beck and Lily, it's so good to chat with you. I reckon we're prepared now, but it's too late to get our visa organised for Christmas and our passport, but maybe for next year.
That's right.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Warren.
Thank you, Beck Dahl. Before you go, I've got another question for you, Beck, actually. Okay. I'll just say Beck Dahl from Nichols Family Lawyers and migration lawyer Lily Ong. Beck, you always pick the song that we're going to play at the end of the segment. What are we playing today?
Oh, we're playing my gal, Taylor Swift, The Fate of Ophelia.
Fantastic. Do you know, saw Gaga on the weekend?
So did I.
Oh, did you? What did you think?
Amazing.
Oh, how good was it?
Not as good as my gal Taylor, but very good.
I reckon she was better. She kept saying, put your hands up.
Put your hands up. My hands were sore by the end.
Mine were too. They went numb.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.